You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide from the Civic Media app. Welcome, everybody, into hour number two. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Monday, February 3rd, 2025. Back to work, back to school. It's a great day to be Wisconsinite. Aaron Zommer is on the board, all ball behind the mic. Glad to have you along. Lots to get to here in hour number two. Some fun along the way. What's worse, your chance to call in on the pithier. Pithy. You know, short, sweet, and smart. Unlike me. But anyway, the pithier part, the unconsequential fun parts of the show, where we ask you a question, has to do with food, school lunches in particular. So we're going to ask that in a minute. Also, going to have some good news from Brookfield area at the Pettit Ice Center, a Wisconsin skater, all of 20 years old. Another one of the long history of speed skaters in Wisconsin was at it over the weekend. Mike Clemens has been reporting on that on our sports reports. And I'm going to take a look at the Trumpster's crypto coin as well. Take a little glance of that. But first of all, want to get back into the calls here. Was talking last hour so much over the weekend, right? Hard to digest it all. But in particular now that these tariffs put on by Donald Trump, President Trump over the weekend against Canada, Mexico, and China, 25, 25, and 10% respectively, breaking this morning. Trump has said he's going to hold off on the one on Mexico for at least 30 days while they negotiate. But again, it's this overall fear, right? Canada, moving forward, Canada says they'll have their own 25% tariff against U.S. goods. If we get to it here, we have a little Justin Trudeau for you. And then overnight, the U.S. Agency for International Development, a part of the State Department, and yes, I get it. There's been talk of merging this with state going back into the Obama administration. The difference is we have an unelected, unvetted, uncleared private citizen in Elon Musk going in and demanding classified information. I don't care how MAGA you are. The one thing that should bind us all is the rule of law. It's unlawful for any government official to show an uncleared person, whether you're a private citizen or, look, I worked in government. I was a congressional aide. I couldn't go into USAID even when I met with them on an official visit to the U.S. Embassy in El Salvador. I couldn't say, show me everything. Well, Mr. Albaugh, you're not cleared to see that. Oh, that's right. So what Trump and Musk are doing is breaking the law to see classified materials without being cleared. Very dangerous precedent. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Oh, and there's this as well. General Mike Flynn, remember him? The bad Flynn. Not our friend Matt Flynn, but Mike Flynn. Tweeted this out over the weekend. Quote, now it's the Lutheran faith. This use of religion as money laundering operation must end. Lutheran Family Services and affiliated organizations receive massive amounts of taxpayer dollars, and the numbers speak for themselves. These funds total billions of American dollars. Elon Musk retweeted that along with the Doge, Department of Government Efficiency, which is not an official agency, team is rapidly shutting down these illegal payments, and he lists a bunch of the targeted programs in the Lutheran Family Services. That's right. All you good folks, go to Lutheran churches, give money for the great programs. We're going to go through some of those. Now Musk and Trump are coming for you. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Larry texting us on the app via Deerfield. By the way, you can download the app for free at your Apple or Android device. Larry says, quote, in case I missed your comments on the Lutherans, as a retired Lutheran pastor whose congregation helped resettle refugees, in our case from Cambodia, who are still close friends of mine and have definitely had a positive impact in our communities, I am dumbfounded by this arbitrary defunding of the agencies who were contracted by our government to do this work. All legal. This money is not being used to line the church coffers. It is being used to provide essential services for refugees. And Lutherans have been doing this work for 85 years, unquote. Pastor Larry in Deerfield, thank you for that. Thanks for bringing some truth to this show, some firsthand reporting. We're going to get more into this attack on Lutheran Family Services in the middle in a minute. But first of all, let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, thanks for holding, Mark. What say you?
Yeah, I saw that this morning as well. The attack, it just kind of confuses me that why they're attacking that. I guess I originally called in, and once again, CG is talking about, oh, Biden hung out the open border sign, and Harris went right along with it. Nobody in the Biden administration said the borders were open. Absolutely nobody said the borders were open. Advertised that the borders were open. The only people advertising the borders were open were the Republicans, constantly spouting that out. So that may have been the message that some of the people coming across got. If they wanted to solve the border crisis, they would open up dozens and hundreds of border sites to let people come in and try to get into our country legally, try to access our country legally, to provide the influx of immigrants that have continually supplied good citizens to this country, people that have become good citizens of this country. My ancestors that came from Germany and from Sweden and from England came to this country through whatever ports they came through, and were well and became part of the American body of citizens. There's no reason that I think the reason they're so antagonistic toward those people, they're brown,
right?
And they're of
Mark, I'm up against the clock, so yeah. You bring up such a great point, Mark. But let me just add to this, and thank you for bringing this up. There's so much to get over the weekend that it's hard for me to get to all of it. But Mark, your point is so well taken. Look, more than anybody else, I'm all for people doing it, quote unquote, the right way, the legal way to immigrate. But here's the irony, Mark, that you hit on. Over the weekend, Donald Trump is shutting down some of these programs where people have done it legally. There are hundreds of thousands of Venezuelan refugees who did it legally, who have temporary protected status, who have green cards to work legally. And Donald Trump is now taking that away. Over the weekend, on the weekend talk shows, the guy that's now in charge, the border czar guy, I'll find it in a second, his name. This whole thing offering federal...
Tom Homan?
Thank you. Thank you. That's it. Tom Homan. He's the guy. Over the weekend, so the Trump people are offering federal employees buyouts, quote unquote, trying to get them to retire, to resign. Guess who that also applies to? Federal immigration custom agents around the world. So the Trump administration is actually offering to decrease the number of agents in order to legally allow people to apply for entry. That's how crazy it's gotten, you guys. And then they have the audacity to say, well, they need to do it the legal way. They're literally making it harder and taking the opportunities away to immigrate legally. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. 4842. Let's go to Joe here listening in Madison via WMDX. Joe, always a pleasure. What say you?
2 points. The first I wanted to make was you had mentioned, well, who's going to be going after Musk if he's been doing this stuff? And I wanted to mention to you that there is somebody going after him. His name is Mark Lemley. It's L-E-M-L-E-Y. You can find him on Blue Sky Social. And he says, giving access to social security numbers or other data on employees to non-employees like Musk is a violation of 5 U.S.C. 552A and carries a penalty of $1,000 per person whose data was accessed. Quote, we are building a case. So he is a lawyer out of Stanford Law School, and they are starting to build the case. The interesting thing, too, is apparently, if federal pardons were promised or anything like that, another individual adds that a private individual who accessed Social Security information, then that's a violation of data privacy laws in every single state. So state AGs can file suit and pursue criminal charges. And those are, away from any kind of federal pardons that Trump might want to do. People have said, well, Musk could take $1,000 per person. Who cares? He has all these little tech bros who are working with him. And I am sure that they do not have billions of dollars at their behest to hire lawyers and go in this. And I'd say, come out slinging, build the court cases, and let's go. And I would also say that this, to my mind, deserves time behind bars, not just fines. But I think if there's a fine for every single American who's been affected by this, it may be considerable. The other thing I wanted to bring up, Todd, and I love your show, and this is a point I just wanted to bring up to just quarrel with you a little bit.
Absolutely.
Were talking about David Hogg, who is a VP now of the Democratic National Party, and he ran for this. This was a position he very much wanted because he's worried about that young people are drifting away from the Democratic Party and heading Republican, which is disastrous, finally, for their life. And he wanted to see what he could do about this. He's the first Gen Zer who's been elected to this kind of position. He's 24 years old, got a degree from Harvard. He's got a business where he's a pillow-making business. He's also got PACs. He's got a best-selling book on the New York Times bestseller list. Very, very capable individual. And you had mentioned that he was back up in Wisconsin in the last election season, and he was wearing suit and tie, and you said, not relatable. And I think this is a fascinating point to look at. What is relatable when you're up in northern Wisconsin? And what could someone like this wear that one would assume would be relatable? I would say, if he's wearing camo, people would say, well, you're not a hunter. If he's wearing a Packer jacket, people would say, well, you're from Florida, get out of here. There is something essential about showing up at somebody's house in a suit and tie. You're saying that you're serious. You're serious and you take them seriously. I'm reminded that when Martin Luther King was organizing back in the 60s, now different time period, of course, but he insisted that everybody who participate have a suit and tie and the women wore dresses. It was to show respect.
Joe, don't go anywhere. Hang on. I'm up against the clock. It's going to cut me off. But I want to finish this conversation with you on the other side. Very important. Really good conversation, as we always get from Joe. Stay with us. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're glad to have you along here in the second hour of the show, 21 past the hour, 1 o'clock. Got to get to what's worse here in a minute, but having a great discussion with our friend Joe here in Madison. Always appreciate her listenership and her point of view. As our friend Matt Flynn, our common friend Matt Flynn, likes to say, all callers welcome, all points of view welcome, right, Mr. Zommers? That's right. All points of view. Joe, thanks for holding through the break here. I made this so the Democratic, for those that don't know, it's a little insider baseball stuff, but the Democratic National Committee had their national elections over the weekend. I am an independent. I don't belong to any party, but I really like what Ben Wickler has done with the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He was a candidate. And then you had this guy, Martin, from the equivalent chair over in Minnesota running, and Martin gets elected, Wickler does not. The vice chair that's selected is this David Hogg from Florida. He was from the school, the tragic Parkland shooting. He's made a name for himself in gun reform, amongst other things. Joe points out he has a degree from Harvard. He's a very qualified individual. Don't get me wrong. Very accomplished, very qualified. I got no problem with that. My concern is I'm not sure whether he's the right voice to attract Gen Z voters, many of whom who voted for Donald Trump this time around. And Joe, you posed the question right before the break that what do you want? Because you grew up in an era where Martin Luther King Jr. and others said it was important to show up. But because here's the deal. Katrina Shanklin, who is running for 3rd District congressperson in the primary, Hogg came into Wisconsin and went into rural Wisconsin, was doing doors and put pictures of himself on socials, doing doors in a suit and tie and dress shoes. And I just said, I don't find that particularly relatable. And so, Joe, restate your point about respect, please.
Well, it's let me add on to this, too, because it's if someone is opening their door to you, are you wearing just like a raggedy T-shirt and, you know, a baseball hat? Or what does it say if you bother to put a suit on? You know, you're saying that meeting with this person is important to you and that you're bothering to take the time and energy to put on a suit and you're treating that person with respect. There's a history within, you know, and of course, it's been decades since this has happened. But Martin Luther King was always big on his people in marches and demonstrations, always wore suit and tie. Women always wore dresses. So that you looked good. You looked as if you were going to church because it was that important when you were out there. People are looking at you. There are the optics. What do you wear when you're going to northern Wisconsin? Do you wear a Packer T-shirt? Do you wear camo? Or do people look at you and go, hey, you poser, you know, you're not the least bit genuine.
Right.
I would add one more thing to this, which is that one of the things that I think Hogg brings to this is the fact that he went through a school shooting, which sadly more and more kids are extremely familiar with. And in addition, I had called you about this before. There was a series that was done out of the Milwaukee Journal that was looking at rates of gun violence, not just murder, but gun violence across the state of Wisconsin. And the top 7 counties per capita were all northern counties for rates of gun violence. You didn't get down to Milwaukee County until you got to the 7th one. And what that says is that there's an incredible amount of suicide of young people up there. They have access to guns because hunting and guns are very popular, you know, throughout the state, but particularly there. And the tragedy of people succumbing to drugs or depression or whatever gets them to the point of suicide, this man knows the grief and the loss of losing friends to gun violence, whether it be in his school or through suicide or, I mean, it is terrible. And I think that to have somebody Gen Z to be able to speak to that is actually important. So I don't know how you get a tie to young people, but I think to say, look, we've all suffered from losses from gun violence, and whether I'm wearing a suit or a Packer hat, you know, he could be sitting poolside and not doing anything, but he is a young man who cares enough about this to go out there and risk people going, oh, you hoser, you know, you're wearing a suit. I mean, I admire him for going forward. He's not making tons of money by doing this.
Well, that's actually been, I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole on this because I don't have a lot of facts in front of me, only a couple of stories that I read. That's actually been one of the knocks on him. He started this PAC or this organization that raised like $2 million. And there's a knock on his organization has been that the majority of money, over $1 million, was spent on quote unquote administrative work, traveling and that sort of thing. And only like $200,000 actually went to the work. So I don't want to go too far down the road, but that is one knock on the guy. And to your point, look, Joe, I think you and I, you know, I don't know we're the same age or not, but we have the same, we were raised maybe a similar way. Like when you went to church, when you went to meetings, you look good. You didn't even go to the grocery store without making sure your hair was combed or whatever. I get you. And I tend to agree that looking nice, and it doesn't have to be a suit and tie, but just some good clean clothes, it shows a sign of respect. I agree with you. But I'll never forget, this 1995, when I first started working for Congressman Scott Klug, I went and picked him up. I was in a full suit and tie. He came out in khakis and a polo shirt. And he goes, morning, Todd. First thing, lose the tie. And we were going out to Mineral Point, a rural part of Wisconsin. And to your point about churches, you know, I think most of our churches now have deliberately said we're getting rid of a dress code because part of the problem with lower church attendance was people didn't want to dress up anymore. And now most churches you go to, people are in jeans and even T-shirts or polo shirts or whatever. I just think that times have changed. And I think that now a suit and tie is almost a turnoff, especially with people in the Gen Z era.
I don't know. And I know that, you know, for some people there is an element that wants to look sharp and to show
sure.
up and look like you bother. You know, what is it a nice, what kind, what did the suit and tie look like? I don't know. And it's just so odd to me that we get hung up on what the guy's wearing rather than what the guy's doing.
I get that. But it's not just that. It's not just that. But again, I think part of the allure of young people voting for Trump this time was, quite frankly, especially with young white males, they were sick and tired of being told that you have to be, watch how you talk, pronouns. And look at the U.S. Senator from Hawaii, Schatz. He said it in an interview with Politico 2 weeks ago. Democrats have to start talking like normal people. He said it, not me. And it's the approach of political correctness that's turning young people off.
Well, I don't know that wearing a suit is really political correctness one way or the other. I just think he's got a shared experience, and if he can talk one-on-one with other Gen Zers about what it's like to be dodging bullets in schools and losing friends to suicide because guns are so easily readily available, then more power to him.
You're always welcome here, and I always appreciate your point of view. I really appreciate the thoughtful discussion. Thank you so much. Stay tuned. We have more of your calls the other side. John and Lyle, you are next. And yes, we will get to what's worse is the All Balls Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, February 3rd, 2025. Zombers on the board. Glad to have you along. I love doing this show. It's my favorite 2 hours of the day. Anybody that knows me knows it just when I get to, because we have so many great listeners. I love people that have thoughtful conversations and ideas, and we don't always have to agree, but that's part of the beauty of this program, is that we can have thoughtful conversations, so I appreciate that. Talking about, and we kind of got sidetracked, but that's fine, is that Democrats elected their new chairman, this guy Martin from Minnesota, not Ben Wickler, the Wisconsin Democratic Party chair. Look, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican anymore. I'm just an independent guy who tends to believe that Democrats are better for government right now than Republicans, certainly better than MAGA. So I want them to do well. I think they would have been well to elect Ben Wickler, although I think it's good for Wisconsin Democrats that he stays here. And they've elected this guy, David Hogg, a young guy in his 20s from Florida, as the vice chair. And one of our wonderful callers, you know, we were talking a little bit about the guy shows up in Wisconsin, this Hogg guy, in a suit and tie and dress shoes to go door to door in rural Wisconsin. And I don't want to make too much about the clothing, but I just, you know, someone once said, you know, people forget what you say, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. And I suppose, look, I was raised to dress up. We put suits on to go to church when I was a kid. You know, my mom and my grandmother wouldn't even go to the grocery store without putting lipstick on and making sure their hair was right. But I think times have changed. And to the point I made earlier, that most churches now encourage their members or anybody to come as you are, in jeans or T-shirts or whatever, to bring down the barrier. One of our listeners texted in, look, John Fetterman, U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania.
It's a good point.
He shows up at the U.S. Senate in a hoodie and shorts. Now, I'm not saying go that far. And Lyle, stay with us, because I'm going to get you, my friend. I'm sorry. I just, because Lyle's from Sun Prairie, the home of Jimmy the Groundhog. But I don't want to miss this opportunity, because Aaron Zomers, you're in your 20s, a man of Gen Z. What's your take on this as one Gen Z white dude, as far as dress, and does this, in your generation, what does this say?
I think depending on what they're wearing, also how they carry themselves, the vibe can change a lot. I do think if somebody knocks on my door and they're wearing a suit, I am wondering why there aren't two of them because I'm expecting Mormons.
Right.
And they usually come in pairs, you know.
Right.
But I feel like...
But do you think in generally, I mean, you were at Lawrence University up in Appleton. I mean, is your generation more likely to have respect for somebody in a suit like that or more like, yo, what's up with this guy?
I think more the latter, if I had to say. But I mean, I don't know if that's representative of everybody, but I do think that it's most likely to be after talking to the person, they close the door and go talk to their roommates or friends. Like, right. What the heck was wrong with that guy wearing a suit? Whatever.
I mean, I'm not to get too personal, but do you own a suit?
Yes, but it doesn't fit. So no.
Okay. Right. I mean, a lot of people don't even own a suit anymore. I used to like 3 or 4 suits. I have one now, basically, that fits me anyway. Off the text line, Mark of Prairie du Sac says, I remember women covering their heads in Catholic churches for mass. Here's a caller from Maguanago saying, I'm going to have a lot more respect for a person who's dressed respectively. Okay. Caller on WMDX says, times have changed. Now we're all slobs, especially Fetterman. All right. What else we got here? Let me see a couple more.
Well, you know what I think? As far as respect for the person dressed respectfully or thinking, oh, what's this guy doing wearing a suit? Go door knocking in winter. Then it doesn't matter. You're wearing a coat.
Right, exactly. Patrick listening on WMDX. Patrick in the 608 says, haven't Democrats learned that pushing Second Amendment issues and campaigns is a loser? This is the problem with Dems. They simply can't read the room, unquote. I think there's some truth to that. Again, it's I'm not sure sending someone that was through a school shooting and say, you know, I would say that David Hogg has every right to his personal experience and has been an advocate, but I'm not sure that you want that person going into rural Wisconsin who doesn't have an appreciation for owning firearms for hunting purposes and talk about it from that point of view. Now, maybe, again, Zomers, your generation is are gun control laws a big factor in voting?
I think it depends. It's just as divided as it is in other age categories where I have friends who own guns and are like, yeah, I don't want the government taking my guns away and are concerned right. that Democrats might. And I have friends who are like, yeah, common sense gun reform, red flag laws, all that kind of stuff. It's I think it's just a split in that
because
generation.
Because if you look at Wisconsin and across the board predominantly, again, some of the biggest Trump people or some of the biggest young voters that switch from Democratic voters to Trump voters are also in favor of marijuana legalization. And so we hear from Democrats all the time, oh, if you just legalize weed, that will bring the young vote. Turns out those people voted for Trump this time around.
They can still get it.
So, right? Yeah, right. Right. A couple more here. Jim in Brookfield agrees with you, Zomer. Says, if someone comes to my door in a suit, I'm thinking Jehovah Witness, not Martin Luther King. Perhaps business casual is more appropriate. Terry in Cross Plains, regarding the suit and tie, thousands of Mormons prove Joe's point. All right, there you go. These are good debates, good discussions to have. For me, it just comes down to being relatable and reading the room, right? And I guess, you know, I learned the lesson a long time ago that, you know, when I was growing up, politicians always wore a tie and a dress shirt with the sleeves rolled up and dress shoes to do parades. And in the 90s, politicians started wearing polo shirts. And now you see politicians or candidates in parades in t-shirts and shorts. So I think it's a matter of relatability. But I think beyond that, it's just, you know, spending time listening to people. And I think that, unfortunately, I don't know that Democrats listen particularly to rural young people well enough this time around and got what they were saying or wanted to hear. 855-752-4842. All right, Lyle, God love you, Lyle. You've been waiting a long time out there in beautiful Sun Prairie. You wanted to talk a little bit about the trade wars, Canada and Mexico. Thanks for waiting. It's all yours.
Well, yeah, and we're in the town of Sun Prairie out in the country. I think the whole business with fentanyl and immigration is a smokescreen. If we had castle walls and a moat, we couldn't get it down below 1% on either side. Mm. The real thing that's bugging them is the trade deficit. And the thing that's got to bug him the worst is the Canadians are better capitalists than we are.
Right?
We buy a lot more of their stuff than they buy of our stuff.
That's a great point. It's a really great point. I appreciate the call, Lyle. Thanks for staying around. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Zomers, let's go to this cut, if we can, of Justin Trudeau over the weekend saying, you know, look, we're just friendly Canadians. We're a little perplexed here. Here's Justin Trudeau over the weekend talking about being perplexed at Donald Trump's initiative.
I think Canadians are a little perplexed as to why our closest friends and neighbors are choosing to target us instead of so many other challenging parts of the world. I don't think there's a lot of Americans who wake up in the morning saying, oh, damn Canada. Oh, we should really go after Canada.
Right? I don't think too many of us are mad at Canadians, right? Most of us like Canadians. But also Justin Trudeau, not messing around, says that Canada is going to apply their own sanctions.
Unfortunately, the actions taken today by the White House split us apart instead of bringing us together. Tonight, I am announcing Canada will be responding to the U.S. trade action with 25% tariffs against $155 billion worth of American goods. This will include immediate tariffs on $30 billion worth of goods as of Tuesday, followed by further tariffs on $125 billion worth of American products in 21 days' time to allow Canadian companies and supply chains to seek to find alternatives. Ce soir, j'annonce la réplique du Canada.
And this is beautiful. Let play a little while.
Douanier de 25%.
See, look at that. You got Justin Trudeau saying the same thing in French. So, like, the Canadians aren't messing around. So, I mean, and we can laugh about it, right? But if you're looking to build a house, lumber's going to go through the roof. Well, you know, we have a lot of lumber in the U.S. We do. You don't think the U.S. lumber suppliers are going to miss a trick here? They can start paying or charging more for U.S. lumber.
Can and will.
Right. I mean, to the earlier calls at what our friend in Brooklyn, people are starting to wake up and realize, wait, it wasn't all bluster. This guy's actually going to do some of this stuff, a lot of this stuff. U.S. stock market is going down. I talked to a couple of friends in finance over the weekend. I'm not here to give you, and I cannot legally give you financial advice. I am not giving you financial advice. I think if you have a lot of money in stocks, they always say, don't play the stock market with money you can't afford to lose. If you have money in the stock market right now, you can't afford to lose, I would talk to your financial advisor about getting some of that money out of the stock market. Stock market not looking real good. Hedge fund people are betting against the U.S. economy. Prices are going to go up. If the Trump administration goes after beyond folks who are undocumented just for criminal reasons, if they go after your average roofer, gardener, orchard worker, dairy farm worker, unemployment is going to go, I mean, a record, you're going to have an employment problem, which is going to only drag out inflation. Not looking real good. And I think Wisconsinites are going to wake up and start understanding this. Let's see if we get this in quick. Aside from tearing down our federal government, a hallmark of Trump 2.0 is self-dealing corruption. Among several recent grifts is the launch of Trump cryptocurrency 3 days before the inauguration. The coin hit a peak value of about $73 in its first 2 days. So let's check the market, see how it's doing. And wow, look at that. It's trading below 20 bucks. Let's see, that means it's already lost 3/4 of its value in 2 weeks. We don't know yet who else created this scam with Trump. Their names are hidden behind layers of limited liability companies, but we do know the creators allocated 80% of Trump coins to themselves. And we know that starting March 1st, Trump and other creators can start selling their coins gradually over 3 years. Trump named a billionaire bro, David Stocks, to be his crypto czar in a deregulated the crypto industry. On Fox News, Sachs said that Trump coins should be thought of as mere collectibles, akin to baseball cards or a stamp. The unwitting victims of the scam may not be all that amused. Just don't buy Trump crypto. I will give you that advice.
Yeah, don't buy that. You know, if you want to get into crypto, you should have bought Bitcoin 15 years ago.
Right. That may have been the time to do it.
Then you'd be a millionaire now.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. We have time. Quickly, Cindy, you have 35 seconds. Cindy, it's all yours. Go ahead.
Well, no matter what happens with tariffs, prices on this, stock market, no matter what happens, it's all Biden and Obama's and DEI and immigrants' fault. For the next 4 years, right, that's all we're going to hear.
Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate it. Yep. Thank you so much. Maybe we can dial. We'll see how good Zomers is. See if we can dial up a little Yentl. No matter what happens, I can't anymore. No matter what happens. One of my favorite shows. It's the final song from Barbara Streisand and Yentl, I think, on the soundtrack. No matter what happens. It's a great song. We'll come back. No matter what happens, we have to keep going. We have to stay together. We have to remember that our relationships with one another is what binds us together. That's the important thing. All right, we'll come back. Let's hear a little Barbara Streisand, a little Babs for you on a Monday. And we'll do a speed round of what's worse. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
No matter what happens, I can't anymore. There's someone who must hear the words I've never spoken. Tonight, if you are here, my silence would be broken. I need him to touch me.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. Ending the show with the great, the incomparable Barbara Streisand. A little bit more. Here we go.
To be myself at last. For too many mornings.
What a voice. Smooth as butter. Barbara Streisand. Zomer said over the break, he goes, what's Yentl? Only one of the greatest films ever. Thank you very much. It came out in 1983. Starred Barbara Streisand, one of the great films about growing up as a young Jewish woman in the old country. And her dad was a rabbi, and she wanted to be a rabbi. And of course, at the time, prohibited women from being that. And so she basically cuts her hair because her father dies, and then she goes to study as a man. You know, secretly, and both hilarity and seriousness ensue. It's a great movie. It's a musical, of course, as you heard there, and she plays the lead character.
Kind of sounds like a more serious version of Mulan.
A little bit, yeah. But it's a great film. If you've never seen it, make sure you check it out. Anyway, the great Barbara Streisand there, and the reason I know. More than you want to know, too much information. This, my friend Rob will love this because he loves it when I reveal things about myself. We grew up together, and he says, you talk way, you're way too open, and I love every minute of it. The reason I know this film came out in 1983, I had to look it up. I'll never forget the review on the Today Show for Yentl. It came out the same weekend as A Night in Heaven, starring Christopher Atkins, and Gene Shalit in his review said, go see Yentl this weekend. It's much more heavenly.
Oh.
and as much as I was kind of like, oh, I don't know, Yentl. And because Christopher Atkins was hot, and I had a secret crush on Chris. Probably one of the first times I thought, maybe I'm gay. It turns out I was right. Yeah, wow, a night in heaven. Whew. That's quite the film, too.
Is it? Is it not?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those HBO skin flick type of shows.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I need to take a cold shower. All right, let's do it. A 3-minute version of What's Worse. Let's go. Yes, time once again to do an abbreviated speed round of What's Worse. No prize money involved. Only your chance to have your voice heard. Here it is. Got to get this in. What's worse, hospital food or school lunch? Hospital food or school lunch? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, hospital food or school lunch? Now, I've had some really bad school lunches and some really great school lunches. I think it depends on who's running the school lunch program. Thankfully, I've spent a little bit of time in hospitals over my life with surgeries. I don't know if I've ever had a great hospital lunch. Have you?
I did once. One year, my mom was in the hospital on Thanksgiving after a pretty major procedure. So she just had to be in there for a while.
Yeah.
And we had their Thanksgiving meal, and it was actually pretty solid. You know, like turkey and gravy and mashed potatoes, stuffing, all that stuff. It was actually not bad. And I will say, I think school lunch is worse. And that's
because school lunch is worse. All right, go ahead.
Because
yes,
at least at the school I went to, they kept making the lunch periods shorter.
Mm.
And so it like not only is it not that great, but you have to cram it in such a small amount of time and scarf down.
All right.
It wasn't good.
Speed round of what's worse, school lunch or hospital food. Mark in Pernisac says the food at UW Hospital is fantastic. There you go. Dave in New Berlin says hospital food is worse. 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom, speed round. What's worse, hospital food or school lunch?
Hospital food. We actually had good lunches where we were.
Did you really? That's fantastic.
Except now I don't know. These kids don't know what to eat. Everyone should see where to invade next, because they would see actually what they serve in France. Mm-hmm. And they have dietitians that actually... watch that, Todd. It's called right. Where to Invade Next. It is a Michael Moore documentary, but very, very good.
All right, quick, what's better, A Night in Heaven or Yentl?
A Night in Heaven, I think. Depends on where you're going. Depends on the date you're having.
That's fantastic. Best call of the day. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. What's worse, hospital food or school lunch? 855-752-4842. Hospital food or school lunch? Matt in Richland Center, our great UPS driver, says hospital food because better cancel Skinamax. I'm getting worried. I don't even have that anymore. Well, I never really. So you remember like back in the day, you could kind of like when you had to like cable or whatever, you could get like it was like fuzzy over it. You could kind of like get it. You know what I mean?
Oh, gotcha.
Now with digital, you can't do that anymore. Caller in WAUK, hospital food and school food both suck. I'm a nurse with 2 college degrees. All right. Very good. Tyler in Columbia County, school lunch is good here. UW hospital food is good there. I defer. And Tyler says school lunch doesn't come with painkillers. Well, okay. Well, at least most don't. That wraps up What's Worse. I say hospital food worse. All right. Great show. Great callers. Appreciate everybody. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
Banging on your drum. Keep banging on. And your day will come. Keep banging on. Banging on your drum.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.